Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, we have a class about grief and how to deal with it in Islam. Actually, sisters, all of us have been stricken with grief and sadness in one day-to-day life, in our day-to-day life. A loved one passed away, financial downturn, severe illness, and a cheating spouse. At the beginning, there are some facts which we need to remember. Number one, in Islam, Allah teaches us about the nature of the worldly life. And now we will read from Surah number 67, Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 1 and 2, to remember about the reality of our worldly life. رحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. Blessed is he in whose hand is the dominion, and he is able to do all things, who hath created death and life, that he may test you which of you is best in deeds, and he is the Almighty, the of forgiving. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that he creates death and life, that he may test us. Okay? Again, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala clarified to us about that test and the calamities of the test of the worldly life in more details in Surah number 2, verse number, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 155. Now we will learn more and more about the calamities which we will face in the test of the worldly life. Surah number 2, verse number 155. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين. And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits, but give glad tidings to الصابرين, the patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us, we shall test you. This is, you know, what we will be, what we will have in the test of the worldly life, something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives and fruits. So regarding these calamities, we always have some questions which we need to know its answer. The first question is, can we escape these calamities? The second question is, why Allah allow bad things to happen to the good people? Number three, does Allah send the calamities upon us in order to destroy us or to shatter our will or to finish us off? The fourth question is, how should a believer deal with grief when calamity strikes? Now we will answer these questions one by one so that inshallah we will learn how to calamities and how to actually deal with the grief. The first question is, can we escape these calamities of the worldly life? We will learn the answer from Surah Al-Hadid. In order to learn about can we escape these calamities, we will learn the answer from Surah number 57, verse number 22. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة نمبر 57 verse 22 and 23. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها، إن ذلك على الله يسير، لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم، والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. No calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves, but it is inscribed in the book of decree before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah, in order that you may not grieve at things over that you fail to get, or rejoice over that which have been given to you, and Allah likes no prideful boasters. Okay? Sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us that nothing can be changed regarding the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must actually accept all the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that this is part of the test of the worldly life, and because of that we are not supposed to grieve much on things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned it for us, and we should not also rejoice much over the things which has been given to us. And inshallah, I will clarify to you more and more about these facts, why not to grieve much or to rejoice much. But let us now learn the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding these facts. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Be mindful of Allah, you will find Him before you. Get to know Allah in prosperity, and He will know you in adversity. Know that what has passed you by was not going to befall you, and that what has befallen you was not going to pass you by, and know that victory comes with patience, relief with affliction, and ease with hardship." So again and again, sisters, we must believe that whatever Allah decreed for us in this worldly life, we will face it. Okay, because this is part of the worldly life test, and we will be rewarded for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we will learn now, inshaAllah. But basically, send to yourself a message at any time, at the time of prosperity or the time of adversity, that what has passed me by was not going to befall me, and that what has befallen me was not going to pass me by. So just accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and always look for the relief when you have affliction, and look for the ease when you have hardship. And we will learn more and more about this. But first, let us answer the second question. Why Allah allow bad things, calamities, disasters, and trials to happen to good people? Actually, the answer is that Allah is allowing these calamities and disasters to happen to us for many reasons. The first reason is mentioned in Surah number 29, Surah Al-Ankabut, verse number 2 and 3. Let us learn from the words of the Creator of the worldly life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is planning our life, why He is exposing us to calamities and disasters, what is the reason behind it. We will read now from Surah Al-Ankabut, Surah number 29, verse number 2 and 3. We will read 1 and 2 and 3. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? Again, sister, this is the word of the test, which is repeated in many verses of the Quran. Allah is clarifying in verse number 3, and we indeed tested those who were before them, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. Okay, so we must realize that these terms, calamities, will differentiate between the true believers and the false believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the reality of everyone before creating the worldly life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us to prove our reality in spite of His knowledge about us, so that in the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me, for example, Mona, when you were tested with illness and you have the problem in your illness, why you were so frustrated? Why you were grieving so much? Why you feel that it is very tough for you? Why you didn't accept it in spite of the fact that you know that it is a part of the test of the worldly life, and you know that I will reward for you what is more better than the worldly life? So I was supposed to tell him, no, Allah, I didn't. I was accepting everything. At that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the scene of the worldly life to come down in front of everyone. And in that scene, I will see myself complaining. Okay, so Allah will tell me, this is the truth. You were under the impression that you can come on the Day of Judgment and lie. You cannot lie on the Day of Judgment, because everything is recorded and the scene will be in front of all the creatures. So again and again, sisters, we have to be aware that this worldly life is a recorded test, so that on the Day of Judgment, okay, my deeds will be the proof for what I will deserve. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is causing the disasters to happen to us so that the record will be for every one of us. Our realities will be there. I cannot say, oh Allah, this is not the truth. Hold on. Because on the Day of Judgment, everyone will be looking for the paradise, looking for escaping the hellfire. How I will escape the hellfire in spite of the fact that I know that I was complaining? I will try to lie and to have excuses. Unfortunately, this is not the time for the excuse on the Day of Judgment. All praise to Allah, we have the chance here in the worldly life to learn our message and to live the life according to the rules of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that He will test every one of us so that everyone will prove her reality. So let us prove the reality that we are accepting, that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to put us in trouble or to destroy us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to prove our reality. Oh Allah, I am a true believer. Oh Allah, I accept your decree. Oh Allah, I don't know and you know. Oh Allah, I am sure that with every affliction there is ease. Oh Allah, I will be patient. Oh Allah, I deserve a paradise. Okay, so this is the goal of the worldly life, to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah you deserve the paradise, which is the goal of the believer. We are living the worldly life to do the good deeds in every aspect, so that I will collect as I can. How can I collect these good deeds? I can collect it by doing good to everyone around me, and also by being patient at the time of adversity and trials, because Allah rewards those whom they are patient with no limits. There is no limitation for the reward of those whom they are patient at the time of trials. So we must believe that these calamities and the disasters are for the sake of the true believer, because he will prove his reality to Allah, and he will feel that through this trial, oh Allah, I succeeded to prove my reality, so I, inshallah, my destination will be the paradise, inshallah. Again and again, sister, when people are tested with various trials and afflictions, poverty, fear, loss of the beloved ones, and severe illness, these are various forms of Allah's test. When the ungrateful one loses a loved one, they become angry with Allah, challenging Allah as to why Allah caused his loved ones to die. But the grateful believers will remain patient and submit his will totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the calamities differentiate the true believers from the false one. We will read more about this fact in Surah number 3, verse number 179. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة نمبر 47 سورة محمد فيرس نمبر 31 ولنبلونكم حتى نعلم المجاهدين منكم والصابرين ونبلو أخباركم.
And surely we shall try you till we test those who strive hard and sabirin the patient, and we shall test your facts.
And we shall test your facts. Okay. The one who is liar and the one who is truthful. Okay, again and again, sisters, this must be clear. She will bring, Romelia will bring for you. Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is clarifying that, and surely we shall try you till we test those who strive hard, as-sabirin, and we shall test your facts. Again and again, sisters, you know, this is actually one of the reasons for calamities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test every one of us, so that inshallah we will prove that we are from those whom they are patient and those whom they are accepting the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of everything. Allah is the planner of everything. So as a believer in the oneness of Allah, as a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and servant, I am supposed to accept whatever He plans for me, believing that He is planning for me the best, which I can't imagine, which I can't understand, which is not clear for me. But still, I am a human being. I have a lack in knowledge and I have a lack in wisdom. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, the most merciful. We must always believe basically that Allah is the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of us in the way which we don't understand, because many times there are many facts about yourself which you don't know it. Okay, sometimes you feel that if I marry that person, I will never tolerate him. I will never live with him. I can't. But you notice after some time that you live with him and everything is alright and the problem was not so great. Then you say to yourself, I don't know about myself that I can tolerate so and so. You don't know, but Allah knows, because Allah is the one who creates you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates you so that you can have the worldly life as a way to the paradise through your good deeds. One of these good deeds is to be patient. How can I be patient, O Allah? I will test you. I will test you with calamities, with trials, with loss. You are looking for money, you will not have money. You are looking for kids, you will not have kids. You are looking for a family, there is no family. You want to live in your country, you will leave your country. Okay? This is the test of the worldly life. This is not the punishment or the revenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, sister. This is the importance of understanding the reality of the worldly life. This is the test of the worldly life. Because if you imagine what is the paradise, you will realize that it deserves special people to live in the paradise. Not everyone can live in the paradise, because the paradise is what we can't imagine, what we cannot, what you never see with your eye or you hear about or you can imagine. It is something totally different, you know. And because it is so precious for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will choose special people. Allah will choose those whom they obey, whom they submit, whom they forgive, whom they forget, whom they tolerate, okay, whom they were patient with all the trial. This is the quality of the spirits which can live in the paradise, okay? So, be aware of the reality of the worldly life. When you are aware, you will accept everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a very important reason, which I will clarify to you now. When we will know, you know, the second reason for calamities is that suffering causes people to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? We will read now from the Quran, from Surah number 17, verse number 66 and 67.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربكم الذي يزجي لكم الفلك في البحر لتبتغوا من فضله إنه كان بكم رحيما وإذا مسكم الضر في البحر ضل من تدعون إلا إياه فلما نجاكم إلى البر أعرضتم وكان الإنسان كفورا. And when harm touches you upon the sea, those that will call upon vanish from you except him. But when he brings you safe to land, you turn away, and man is very ungrateful. Do you then feel secure that he will not cast aside of the land to swallow you?
No, these two only. Did you read this one?
Oh, no. I read this one. I'm
okay.
Your Lord is he.
We'll read it again. Okay.
Your Lord is he who drives the ship for you through the sea in order that you may seek of his bounty. Truly, he is ever most merciful toward you. And when harm touches you upon the sea, those that you call upon vanish from you except him. But when he brings you to safe land, you turn away, and man is ever ungrateful.
You see, sisters, actually, this example is applied to our day-to-day life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that when we are in the ship and everything is all right, you know, we are very happy. But when the wind will come, okay, we will be so afraid that we may die, then we will call on Allah because Allah will be the only one to save us. As soon as we are out from the ship, okay, we will forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? This example is applied to our day-to-day life. A person may forget Allah when his financial situation is good. But if he were laid off from work, then suddenly he would be invoking Allah for help. Generally, and it is part of the human psychology, we forget Allah in good times, and we remember Him in times of distress. So Allah afflicts us with trials and afflictions, so that we may turn to Him and seek His mercy. There are a lot of people who have turned to Allah and were guided to the right path after being afflicted with suffering. In conclusion, afflictions, trials and suffering make people to remember their Lord and to try to obey Him and become closer to Him, a great blessing for those who reflect. Again and again, sister, I need to clarify to you a very important fact. In this life, either you live having the psychological support that the Lord of the heavens and earth, the owner, the planner, is taking care of me. He will guide me. He will save me. He will cure me. He will make my life a good life. He will provide me. When you have this psychological support inside your spirit, you will be always a balanced human being, and you can actually escape or you can face many trials and hardships while you are strong, while you are accepting, while you are having a peace of mind. Why? Because whatever I will be exposed for, the one who has the only power, the only will, the most merciful is taking care of me. So I will not think of anything. I leave it all to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important psychological support for any spirit over the earth. So if you succeed to realize this fact, and out of this realization, you will be all the time close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be all the time remembering Him. You will be all the time looking to please Him. So if a calamity will strike me, I will say to myself, this is from Allah. Allah loves me. Allah is taking care of me. I cannot live out of His mercy. So, oh Allah, I am accepting. Oh Allah, I am submitting. Oh Allah, I am looking for Your help and for Your support. But oh Allah, any calamity, any trial, anything is nothing for me so long I am in close relation with You. So long You are taking care of me. So long I feel the psychological support that all the power is taking care of me. So you know, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when some of us mostly forget about Him, when we are busy at the time of adversity, out of His mercy, He will strike us with some affliction so that we will remember, oh, I am far away from Him. I am not praying well. Many people, when they are having a nice time or good time or fun time in their life, they forget about praying regularly. They never recite the Quran probably. They never try to help others. They become very selfish. And this is very bad. If we evaluate life as a way to paradise, okay, this is very bad. To live selfish only for yourself, forgetting about good deeds, forgetting about improving your quality as a human being, this is very bad. So at that moment, Allah will remind you, come back, turn again, do good deeds. Remember the reality of the worldly life. Life is not fun. Life is a test. Okay? So when Allah strikes us with these calamities, how are you, Marcel? It is always, inshallah, for to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, sister, it is from my personal experience, to live your life remembering Allah and close to Him is the greatest blessing in this life, which inshallah you will realize how it is the greatest blessing inshallah on the Day of Judgment. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, now I will clarify to you the third reason for calamities, okay, is to purify the spirits through forgiveness of the sins. Okay, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the one in whose hand is my soul, this is God or Allah, no believer is striking with fatigue, exhaustion, worry or grief, but Allah will forgive him for some of his sins, thereby even a thorn which pricks him. He also said, trials will continue to befall the believing man and woman with regard to themselves, their children, and their wealth until they meet Allah with no sins on them. This means that on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, they will be sent directly to the paradise. Okay? So again and again, sisters, let us reflect. What is more important, and actually, what is a sign of love? Whom Allah is loving in reality. Those whom Allah strike them with calamities and disaster in the worldly life so that He will forgive all their sins, and then inshallah on the Day of Judgment they will be sent to the paradise, or those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leave them, okay, to enjoy the unenjoyable, deceiving worldly life, then on the Day of Judgment it will be the hellfire. What is more, a sign, what is a clear sign of love? For anyone who can reflect, the clear sign of love is that, oh Allah, I can tolerate any disaster in this worldly life. Because it is a short one. Because it is a deceiving enjoyment. Because I am looking for the eternal happiness in the paradise, inshallah. So always try to discuss these issues. You know, while you are alone with yourself, tell to yourself, I am so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, sister, this is something known in Islam, that whoever Allah loves, He will make that person or this person, okay, to face calamities in the worldly life, especially before death. If you notice that there is a very religious person who is having an illness or an accident or whatever, then he is sick or ill for a long time, facing the severe pain and being in need of people and all of this suffering, be sure that Allah loves that person. Because Allah, through this suffering and pain, Allah is forgiving all his sins. This is more better than to leave him healthy, happy, having everything in the worldly life with all his sins. And then on the day of judgment, these sins will be his way to the hellfire. So all the time realize the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually is giving us the glad tidings that Allah will compensate his servants for even the minor hurt that comes from a thorn which pricks the skin. In conclusion, a believer who is suffering severe trials and tribulations should take heart in the fact that he is the one whom Allah chooses. Allah loves enough that he wishes to purify him or her in this life so that they will dwell in the paradise. The paradise will be your final eternal destination. Again and again, sisters, I need to clarify to you a very important fact which we don't have time to reflect on. Because we are still in the worldly life, we are very busy with the enjoyments of the worldly life. We don't have time to think of the paradise, to evaluate the paradise. The paradise is eternal. Try to have 1 minute to think of the word eternal. Eternal is for millions and millions of years. With nothing, you will not go to the bathroom. You will not pray, you will not have hard time, you will not fight, you will not work, you will not do anything. You will just enjoy the blessings and the reward for what you suffer in the worldly life. Okay? So don't be busy with the worldly life because it is, you know, the present. No. Be actually a person who can reflect. Okay? The worldly life has an end. Okay, maximum, what is the maximum for anyone living on the earth? Okay, 100 years, but actually in the Quran we learn that after an age, for example, age of 80, okay, or whatever, when we start to lose our sight and to lose our, you know, to hear well and to become very weak, you know, at that time actually living this worldly life is not actually something any believer is supposed to look for. After the age of 80, when I will be most of the time fed by my daughter, or she's taking care of me, or someone will, I will be a burden mostly in life. Okay, 80, 85, whatever. Okay, so what is the worldly life? If you cut down the time of sleeping, which is third of the worldly life, time of work, time of fighting, time of education, the worldly life will be 10 years, not more than this. For these 10 years, I will lose eternal life in the paradise? No, I will never, inshallah, because I can reflect, okay? How I will not lose it? When I send the message to Allah, oh Allah, I am accepting everything. Whatever suffering, whatever trial, I am accepting, it is from you, you are the Lord. But oh Allah, I am looking for your help. I am looking for your support. Okay, I am looking for the ease. I am looking, you know, for the, for an outlet. Okay, for patience. Shower me with mercy and patience, so that inshallah I will be accepting your decree and I will be looking forward. All the time, sisters, as a true believer in the oneness of Allah, okay, I will clarify to you those more when I will tell you how to deal with the grief. So now, sisters, you must realize and you must believe from the depths of your heart, not with words, the depths of your heart, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not exposing us to trials, calamities, and hardship to destroy us or, you know, to make us to have a bad worldly life. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is creating us so that we will be, inshallah, in the paradise. Okay, he is the Lord of everything and the owner of everything. Okay, and if all the human beings on the earth are not believing in his oneness, this will not decrease anything from his dominion. And if all the human beings from China to Mexico, they are all the most biased human beings, this will not increase anything in his dominion. Allah is not in need of anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how he is creating us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to handle us so that we can have our way to the eternal happiness, inshaAllah. Now we will learn how to deal with grief according to Islam. Number one, it is permissible to cry softly and to express grief over the death of the loved ones. On the occasion of the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his son Ibrahim, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Our eyes are filled with tears, our hearts with grief, but we say nothing with our lips except which pleases Allah. Verily, to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return." This is what we are supposed to say at the time of the grief. Islam is not against the nature. Okay? It is the nature that when I will lose my beloved ones, I will be missing them. So I will cry softly. Okay? And I will remember them. But at the same moment, I will say, okay, to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. My beloved ones return today. Who knows? Maybe I will return after 1 month. So fast. Because Allah is the most merciful. And I will clarify to you more and more about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Islam, it is permissible, you know, to express the grief, but keeping in the heart at the same time that we will all return to Allah soon. Okay? Number two, we in turning to Allah. When you have grief, okay, turn to Allah the most merciful for help. And let us remember the verses of the mercy in the book of Allah, in the Quran, which will help every one of us to accept the tragedy of the loss and to look for Allah to help and to get us out of it. We will read now from Surah Yunus, Surah number 10, verse number 107. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن يمسسك الله بضر فلا كاشف له إلا هو وإن يردك بخير فلا راد لفضله يصيب به من يشاء من عباده وهو الغفور الرحيم.
And if Allah touches you with hurt, there is none who can remove it but He. And if He intends any good for you, there is none who can repel His favor, which He causes it to reach whosoever of His slave He wills. And He is all-forgiving and most merciful.
So again, sisters, it is only Allah's will that can save us from any hardship and trial, and can help us to move on to the good time, as Allah is able to do everything. Feeling that you are not in control. All the time you must feel that I am not in control. Allah is the one in control. So I need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in control. I want to tell Him that, oh Allah, you know that I am not in control. And then you must cry to Allah, pray to Him, talk to Him saying, all admiration belongs to you. If good comes to me, it is from you. And if an affliction harms me, it is only you who can save me. I submit to you. When you send the message of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the depths of your heart, believe me, sisters, immediately you will feel the mercy of the most merciful in the depths of your heart. It will fill you with the hope, peace, tranquility and calmness. All the worry, sadness and loneliness will be out of your spirit. All this happens to you because you turn your heart to the correct direction, to Allah, the controller of all the affairs, the most merciful. Again and again, sisters, you know, all praise to Allah. When I give these classes, I am giving these classes with all the sincerity because I live my life and I have afflictions, and everyone has trials, and this is the nature of the worldly life. But when you live the reality of the verses of the Quran in your worldly life, you will feel it, and you will be looking to actually to mention it to all the sisters and all the Muslims so that they can realize the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try always at the depths of your grief and the depths of your sadness to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only with all the sincerity. Pray 2 rak'ahs and put your forehead on the floor and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is in control. Tell him, oh Allah, you are in control. I am not in control of anything. I cannot do anything. I am in great trouble. I am in great need of you. And I know that you can do everything. And I know that you are the only one who can save me. And I know that you are the most merciful. I am hanged to your mercy. I am looking forward for it. When you will say these words from the depths of your heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sisters, believe me that at the same second, Allah will replace all your feelings of loneliness, worry, sadness, you know, helpless. You will start to feel that there is hope. Something will happen. A new change will come to my life. I am not alone, ever. He is with me. He can do everything. He is the most merciful. You will feel totally different, inshallah. And be sure that Allah, the one who can do everything and the one who owns everything, will open for you a gate of His mercy which you never expect. And you will realize at that minute that so long I am connected to Him, so long, inshallah, I am in the best shape. So long, inshallah, I can deal with the grief and I can come out of it more better because I become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will read from the Quran about these facts from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 156 and 157. Surah number 2, verse number 156-157. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون.
Who, when afflicted with calamity, say, truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. They are those on whom we are salawat, who are blessed and will be forgiven from their Lord. And they are those who receive His mercy, and it is they who are guided, are the guided ones.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying that His mercy and blessings will be the reward for those whom they are patient at the time of affliction. And actually, sisters, we must realize that the mercy of Allah and the blessings of Allah are more better than any material or worldly gain. So Allah is promising that if you are patient at the time of grief and when you are afflicted with calamities, be sure that you will be rewarded what is more and more and more favorable than what you lost. You will have Allah's mercy and blessings. Regarding this verse of the Quran, when you have to say, truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return, there is a supplication for the relief of calamity. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is no Muslim who is striken with a calamity, and then he says what Allah enjoined to say, this verse of the Quran, verily to Allah we belong, and verily to Him we shall return. O Allah, reward me for my affliction and compensate me with something better. But Allah will compensate him with something better. So again and again, sisters, you know, this is the importance of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. When I am a true believer, remembering Allah, and I realize that this worldly life is full of disasters and trials, so whenever a trial will strike me, which is part of the worldly test, immediately I will remember this supplication. Immediately I will remember this fact. Truly, to Allah we belong, and truly to him we shall return. Okay, this is the fact of the worldly life. Then immediately, because I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will call on him. Okay, immediately I will call on him at the time of disaster. People are coming to tell me, oh Mona, what happened, this and that. I'm not with the human being. I am with the one who is in control. So immediately I will call on him, saying to him, oh Allah, reward me. Because I will be patient. Because I am accepting. Because I submit to you. Because I am looking for your help and support. Oh Allah, this is the escape to Allah at the time of the trials. Oh Allah, reward me for my affliction. And so long I am a true believer in Allah, I have the hope that the trial will not be forever in my life. So I will call on him, saying to him, compensate me with something better. At the time of trial, I will call on Allah to compensate me with something better. Prophet Muhammad is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will compensate him with something better. And again, sister, this is a promise from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from Allah. And sisters, I want you to memorize this supplication and to keep it in your heart. And we pray to Allah that no affliction will happen to anyone, but this is not the truth of the worldly life. Life is afflictions and trials. Okay? At the second of the trial, okay, or when you remember, as I mentioned to you now, if you don't know it, say it again, I will write it to you on the board, inshallah, now, okay, and keep it in your heart, and have the full trust, that if you call on Allah at the time of trial, asking him to compensate you with something better, which you don't know it, I don't know at the time of affliction, when I become very sick, what will be better? What is the better for me? Maybe the better of me for me that I will leave this country and I will return back to my family. Maybe the better for me is that, I will be totally healthy. Maybe the better for me that they will compensate me, the one who made for me the accident worth $3 million, then I will start. I don't know what is better for me. So I leave it to Allah, but I have the full hope and trust that at the time of affliction, I am sure of the compensation, which is more better than the affliction. This is how the true believer has to handle the afflictions and trials. At the time of the affliction, the sisters will come and tell me, Sister Mona, you are crying this. I tell her, no sister. Jazakallah khair. I am looking for the compensation from Allah, which inshallah more better than me. In Islam, we are supposed to accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can cry softly, but life will keep on because the ease is there, the outlet is there, the mercy is there, something better is waiting for you. You know, we cannot stop at the time of the trials and ask the time to stop, ask the watch to stop. Life has to stop. Now I am in grief and everything has to stop. This will never happen. Life will keep on, and as a true believer I must keep on because this is the test of the worldly life, and Allah will compensate inshallah me now and will make me better and I will live a good time in the worldly life. But again, trials will be there and hardships will be there and I will call on him again and he will compensate me again inshallah, and this is the worldly life. And during all this time, the paradise is in front of me. All praise to Allah. So when the people will come and tell me, how you can handle? I tell them, no. I am not handling through the human being. All praise to Allah. The one in control is taking care of me. The one in control is promising me for a compensation better. So I am looking forward now for Allah and his compensation. So I am accepting, I am submitting myself to Allah, and I am patient. Okay, and I will clarify to you, sisters, that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the importance of patience, okay, at that time, especially at the time of the disaster, the first, the beginning. Because, there is a statement that everything in life begins small, then becomes big. The baby is small, then he is big. The flower is small, then it becomes big, except the grief. The grief becomes very big, then by life it becomes small. We have to help ourselves to make our grief the smallest size so that we can be looking for the compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How I can make my grief smaller, okay, with the feeling of patience. We will learn about patience from the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, how wonderful is the affair of the believer, for his affairs all are good. All the affairs of the believers are good, and this applies to no one but the believer. If something good happens to him, he is thankful for it, and that is good for him. If something bad happens to him, he becomes patient, and this is good for him. Patience is the medicine for all the calamities and trials, and through patience we try to accommodate with Allah's decree and to look for the great compensation in the worldly life and the reward in the paradise. Again and again, sisters, if you are patient with the calamity, this doesn't mean that your reward is only in the hereafter. No. In Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we are looking for a good life in the worldly life. If you are patient with your calamities and disasters and hardships in the worldly life, be sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate for this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for you an outlet. This is what we will learn now from verses of the hope of the Quran, and we will start by reading from Surah At-Talaq. I will tell you now, sisters. We will read now, sisters, from Surah number 65. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will read verse number 7. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, sisters, I will read the whole verse in Arabic, but in English we will read Surah number 65, verse number 7, and we will read the last three lines in English. First, I will read it in Arabic. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها سيجعل الله بعد عسر يسرا. Allah, okay, go ahead.
Allah puts no burden on any person beyond what He has given him. Allah will grant after hardship is.
Okay, so you see, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising us, you know, this is a promise from the Lord of the heavens and earth. So I have the full trust in that promise, and I am looking forward for it. This is a promise from Allah the Most Merciful to every believer living a trial or calamity, that this trial and calamity will be followed by ease. So be patient. Keep your hope in Allah's mercy all the time. Be ready for the ease, inshallah. This is the message of encouragement and support which we all need to remember. Again and again, sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the owner of everything, the planner of everything, is not in need to send for us messages which are not real. Okay, you must send this message to yourself. Allah is not in need of anyone. So whatever He is mentioning to us, okay, this is the reality. This is His rules. After affliction, there is ease. Okay, so all the time, as a true believer in the promise of Allah, live looking for the ease. When you tell me, Sister Mona, you have problems with your health and this and that, are you living the pain and, you know, the whatever feeling of the illness? I tell you, no, never. I am living the feeling of the ease. I will be, inshallah, good. Everything will be alright. I have the full hope and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am not at all trying to concentrate on any negative, because Allah promised me the ease. And maybe it will be after 1 minute. Maybe it will be after 1 hour. I am looking forward for it. I am waiting for it. I am living with it. This is the mercy of the Quran. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He helps the believer even at the depths of the grief to be living the hope, looking for the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sister, this is how you can save your spirit from the sadness and the depression. This is how you can save your immunity system from the pressure on the immunity system. This is how you can save your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I am living looking for the hope from Allah and the ease and the time of prayer comes, this is Allah, the one in control, the one who will give me the ease calling for me, I will run for Him. I will pray the best prayer. I will call on Him with all the depths. Okay, so I saved my relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This equal I saved the paradise. Okay, at the same time with the rest of my responsibilities in life, which I'm not supposed to escape, I will be in the best shape. Then everyone will ask me, how you are doing all of this while you are in the depths of the grief? I tell, no, sister. All praise to Allah. I am a true believer. I am not in the depths of the grave. I am in the ease. I am looking for the ease. I am sure Allah is promising me the ease. And I am patient. I have a reward which is unlimited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, maybe I forget to mention to you the verse about the reward of patience in Surah Al-Zumar, Surah number 39. Let us read about this reward of the patience, because actually everyone needs to know about this. Surah number 39, verse number 10, Allah clarified that the reward of the patient is unlimited. Okay, let us read it, then I will continue to clarify to you about this. Surah number 39, verse number 10. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The last two lines in English, and I will read it in Arabic. In Surah number 39, verse number 10, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. I will read it, you know, because he mentioned it in a different way. Those who are patient, they will receive their reward in full, okay, with no limits. Okay, this is with no limits. Okay, so sisters, when you tell me you are in the depths of the grave, I tell you, no, I am living with the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am living with the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All my sins are removed, inshaAllah. And again, sisters, you must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us a very important verse of the Quran, which will help every one of us to get out of the grief, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 216. The first two lines, بسم الرحمن الرحيم عسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم وعسى أن تحبوا شيئا وهو شر لكم والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون.
And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not know.
So you know, sister, this is how a believer is supposed to handle any trials or hardship in his life. Okay? If I become ill or sick, I have to say to myself, Mona, you don't know and Allah knows. Mona, you like to be healthy, but it may be if you are healthy, you will be arrogant, you will be troublemaker, you will be not fulfilling your trust. Allah knows what is better for you, because Allah clarified. Allah knows and we don't know. Allah knows the unseen. Maybe when I become sick, life will be treating me, the people around me will be nice with me, they will sympathize with me in the future. Okay? Maybe in the future, if I am still very healthy, those around me will treat me in a very bad way. Nobody knows. Allah clarified. We don't know the unseen. The unseen is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because Allah knows everything, this is number one. And because I am a true believer, obeying Him all the time, so this means that inshallah Allah plans for me the best. But oh Allah, I don't like to be sick. Oh Allah, I don't like to lose the money. Oh Allah, I don't like to lose my family. Oh Allah, I don't like to leave my country. Okay, Allah will answer me, you don't know, you may like a thing and it is bad for you. Who tell you that staying in Egypt all the time was better for you? Who tell you that being ill is not good for you? Do you know? So I tell him, no Allah, I don't know anything. I just know the minute I am living in, and I know the minute which I am living in Masjid ISGH in Houston, Texas. but I don't know what is going on just few steps out of the masjid, or in the rest of Houston, or in the work of my husband, or in the mind of my husband, or whatever, in any place on the earth, Allah knows everything. So I have to say, oh Allah, I did a big mistake, because I am not supposed to choose, I am supposed to accept, believing that I don't know. So long I don't know, I accept what Allah decreed for me, because I am a true believer, I obey Him, okay, and He promised those whom they are the true believer that He will be the most merciful for them. Okay, so again and again, sister, suppose I lost my mother, my father, my kids, whatever, I must remember that especially for the beloved children, they are in a more better life now, inshallah, they are in the paradise. So if I love, you know, for example, my kids, and I lost them in illness, in accident, whatever, okay, out of my love to my kids, I will say all praise to Allah. Allah saved them from the trials and the hardships and calamities of the worldly life. Because worldly life is a test of hardship, calamities and trials. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they are children, they have the clean record, yet Allah took them immediately to paradise. All praise to Allah. And all praise to Allah, I will be patient. I will be accepting. Okay? And I will be looking for the reward from Allah to me, that He will give me unlimited reward, which will be my way to paradise. So now, I am sure, inshallah, that me and my kids will be in the paradise. All praise to Allah. So this is how, what you don't like, okay, is the best for you. Who from the other people is sure that his kids will be in the paradise? None is sure. In this time of corruption, who is sure that me, myself, alhamdulillah, with the Quran, with the classes, everything, if you tell me, Sister Mona, inshallah I will be in the paradise, I will tell you out of the mercy of Allah, I hope that I will be like this all my life. I am not sure what will happen after 1 minute. The hearts are changing like this. Sister, I am doing dua to Allah day and night for this. But the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, plans for her or for him, you know, to lose the beloved ones and to send them to paradise in advance and to make her to be patient and inshallah to be with them, all glad tidings to that sister. Okay? So let us, sister, evaluate the Quran correctly. Let us get the blessings and the mercy of the Quran, so that inshallah she will be the one believing that Allah chooses me and my kids to be out of this disaster, out of this big test, out of this unknown. All praise to Allah. So, you know, sisters, we must believe that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most merciful. There is no doubt at all in the spirit of the believer about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His decree. But we need the time to reflect, and we need the time to live with the Quran, and we need the time to realize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have that time, sister, you will be all the time living, looking for the aid from Allah. And now I will mention for you again another verse of the Quran, which is also actually a verse of mercy and hope, which is in Surah number 2, verse number 286. We'll read the first line of Surah, of verse number 286, the last verse of Surah Al-Baqarah. This is the last verse, Surah number 2, verse 286, is the first line. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Okay,
Allah burdens not a person beyond His scope.
You see, sisters, Allah burdens not a person beyond His scope. Okay? This is the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah does not charge a soul or a spirit with more than it can bear. Okay? So what is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that it is within this framework of divine mercy and justice that a Muslim views that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who creates me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full aware of my abilities and limitations, so Allah, the planner, will not plan for me something beyond my abilities and limitations, because He is the one who creates me. Okay? So all the time, sister, you must evaluate the disasters and the calamities in the worldly life from this verse of the Quran. And I want to clarify to you a very important point regarding this verse of the Quran. Actually, there were a group of sisters, whatever, or people sitting together, and everyone was complaining from the disasters in his or her life. So they agreed that everyone will write the disaster in a paper, and they will just, you know, close the paper, and they will put it in a big basket. Then they will move all the disaster like this, then they will ask everyone to choose a new disaster. Okay? And then this will be their future. So, believe me, sister, what happened is that when everyone get the new disaster, they say, no, 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 I can't. Give me my disaster. Please, please, my disaster. I'm very happy. Oh, Allah. You see, sister, why? Because Allah creates Mona to tolerate illness. Allah creates, for example, Romelia to be lonely, not to marry, to tolerate it. Allah creates my daughter, for example, to be poor. Allah creates everyone, you know, with the limitations, okay, which will be, you know, regarding to the burden. So I can tolerate the illness because I am created to tolerate it. My limitations are related to it. But I, for example, I cannot tolerate to be very poor, for example, or I cannot tolerate to be lonely, or I, you know, many things in life. So again and again, be sure that whatever Allah is exposing us to is within our limitations and abilities. So let us accept it. Okay, don't waste your time and your effort, okay, in the area I am not accepting. This is beyond my limitation. This is more than what can I tolerate. I will never tolerate. I will escape. I will escape with drugs. I will escape with drinking. I will escape with whatever corruption, okay, or with antidepressant medication. No. The true believer never escaped the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true believer is fully aware that the most merciful is taking care of me. He will never put any burden on me. And He is preparing for me the ease very close after the affliction. I am looking for it. And meanwhile, I am getting the unlimited reward of patience. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I pray to Allah, sister, that with this realities, we can actually deal with the grief, and at the end, we all need a hug, a shoulder to cry on, or a simple handshake when we face the biggest tragedy of our life, losing someone whom we love. We can't prevent this, but within an atmosphere of human caring and compassion, we can help each other to deal with this tragedy. It is always the care of the family members and the sisters around whom we are looking for to support us at the time of grief. So always remember your duty towards your relatives, your sisters in Islam, who are facing the difficult times and are in need of your love, support and compassion. We also need to change the environment and the place where we are living so that we can forget about the tragedy and we can actually consider it past in our life and try to pass on to the future, which is full of hope of Allah's mercy. And may Allah shower all of us with His mercy and help all of us to live looking for His hope and ease, inshallah. Don't record it.